Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Last time we were together, we were in chapter 5, the last and final chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd bless our study today. We pray you'd have your will and your way, Father, as we study 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Father. We pray that you'd bless the saint of God listening, encourage them, lift them up. And Father, we pray for the lost soul that doesn't know for sure when they die that they're going to go to heaven. Father, but this would be the very day that they would have assurance, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, believing in their heart that it's his shed blood and nothing else that pays for all their sins, past, present, and future, and will secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the day that that lost sinner listening today would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Father, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We were looking at last time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. In this section is entitled The Commandments for the Christian Life. Now, we looked at some analysis and background, but now I want to make an application of those verses to us today. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read down together verses 12 to 22. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I want to make an application of what we just read to the Christian today. First of all, it's very important to accept advice from church leadership, providing the advice is in conformity with the Word of God. If we are church leaders, we should be able to refresh other spirits by our ministering to them. Amen. Esteem for the leadership of a church should always involve prayer for the leaders. For if the shepherd is struck down, the sheep will be scattered. There is need for Christians to live in peace one with another. People from the outside watch Christians for whom they set a much higher standard than themselves. So we need as Christians to set standards for younger believers by the way that we live the Christian life. Amen. Many Christians lack the ability to aggressively pursue the Christian life. You see, we must encourage the faint-hearted to recover from their weaknesses and re-enter the battle that is raging. you see many a week, and need assistance in their walk by encouraging and strengthening them. One's attitude to your enemy as a Christian can have a huge impact for Christ by leaving the problem in the Lord's hands. You know, oftentimes when someone does us wrong, in the flesh we want to instantaneously retaliate. But let me tell you, if you leave that individual, that problem in the Lord's hands, He will deal with them fairly and justly. Amen? We can only rejoice always when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to have the firm conviction that all things, not just some things, but that all things work together for good for those who love God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul notes joy in the midst of suffering. He says this, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You see, my dear friend, we always need to be on praying ground in the sense of constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. The scriptures make it very clear that if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It is only on earth that the believer will suffer. And consequently, it will be the only place in the whole of eternity that God can show His grace in particular ways when the believer is suffering. We need to remember, my dear friend, if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, everything, that's right, everything that happens to you and happens to me is for our ultimate blessing. God is good, isn't He? I don't know about you, my friend listening today, but I praise God that I'm saved. It's almost 20 years ago that I called upon the name of the Lord to save me, trusting in only His shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all my sins and secure me a home in heaven. I praise God for that individual who witnessed to me, and I thank God for that time, that place, when I called upon the precious name of Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than that's the precious name of Jesus. If we are under the control of the sinful nature, we come under divine discipline. But that is to focus our attention on confession of sins so that we resume being in a place where we can be blessed by God again. There are a number of sins against the Holy Spirit. They include grieving the Holy Spirit, which occurs when a believer sins, and quenching the Holy Spirit, where the believer undertakes works from his own resources rather than being used by the Holy Spirit. You see, the production of human good is not acceptable to God. And we should view the preaching of God's word very highly in our Christian life. It is of the highest importance that we test everything that we hear against the scriptures to ensure that we are not led away by false teaching. And then Paul says in verse 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now we know, it's quite obviously that we're to abstain from all evil. Amen. But the Word of God goes even a step further and says, abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, we are to abstain from every semblance of evil. Even though the fact of the action we may be doing or taking or whatever it is may not be evil in itself, but if others were to see it and perceive it as being evil, then we have to abstain from it. Let me give you an example. One time I had an evangelist when I was pastoring a church in, and we took that evangelist, my wife and I, out for dinner. And we were at a restaurant. And the evangelist ordered cranberry juice. Nothing wrong with cranberry juice. Christians can drink as much cranberry juice as they want, amen? There was nothing wrong with that. But the interesting thing is how they serve that cranberry juice. And that cranberry juice was served in a type of glass that they would serve alcoholic beverages in, a cocktail. And yes, there are some, remembering from my unsaved days when I drank and I smoked and did all kinds of things, amen, there are alcoholic beverages of color. So as I was sitting there, and as the cranberry juice was brought over in a glass, a cocktail glass, I said to the evangelist, and this verse came to mind about abstain from all appearance of evil. I said, now what would happen if some of my church members were here at the restaurant at the same time? And they saw you drinking out of that glass, even though it's only cranberry juice. And they thought, well, what is this? Pastor has this evangelist coming to the church, and he's drinking an alcoholic beverage. Again, some of you may think, well, what's the big deal? Well, I'm just trying to give you a real-life illustration about things that we need to think about. Amen. Before we do them. Again, even though what we may think is not evil, But just if the appearance of it is evil, then we have to abstain from it. In order not to produce evil, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at the final section here of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 to 28. In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of analysis and background to this section. God is a God of peace and sanctification. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul wishes the Thessalonians to be set apart entirely to God's work. This refers back to chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 of this book, where the Thessalonians are told to love one another completely, so that they will be spirit-filled Christians at the rapture of the church. Now, we want to notice that Paul says he prays to God that the Thessalonians' whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see then, and we've talked about this before, but man, as God is a Trinity, one God and three persons, we see that man is a Trinity. He is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Very important to see. Now, in verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Here in verse 24, Jesus Christ is seen as faithful and is able to do it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 makes a simple but all-encompassing comment on the Lord Jesus Christ, which reads, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. faithful is he that calleth you. See, God is faithful. Always faithful. We have that great hymn of the faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. But we're not. But Paul is saying, God is faithful. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth you. So whatever he calleth you or called you to do for him, who also will do it. He's going to work through you to accomplish what he's called you to do. You can depend on him. He's ever faithful. You see, his ability is shown in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, my friend, you and I of ourselves don't have in us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish for him or what he has called us to do, but he does. And he's going to give you what you need to do to perform what he's called you to do, because he's ever faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 25, Paul writes, brethren, pray for us. So here in verse 25, Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for his group, for those that are with him. Amen. In the final verses of this letter, Paul tells the Thessalonians that he gives a greeting to them, that this letter should be read to the church. He closes with a statement that the grace of God be with you all. See? He says, verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Men kissing each other was and is common in the Middle East today. In fact, in the Ukraine, after a service, men will kiss the pastor if they feel they have been especially blessed. Now that we've looked at the analysis and background of that, those passages, Paul's closing remarks, let me give you an application. For Christians, for you and I, for the Christian life. Sanctification. Let me just say something about sanctification. Now, salvation was a one-time event. The moment, the instance that you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you were saved. Your spirit was born again. Now, this process of sanctification, which is the process by the Holy Spirit, day by day, changes and conforms you more and more to the image of Christ. That's a process. And the more you're yielded to the Holy Spirit in your life, the quicker the process goes, the easier the process is. But sanctification in the Christian life is seen as of critical importance. You see, with sanctification comes the peace of God which passeth all understanding, the peace that comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. the whole person, body, soul, and spirit, is involved in this sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God has the power to do this and the ability as well. You see, God constantly wants you and constantly wants me in fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my friend, is totally reliable. Really, there's not many people or things that we can say that are totally reliable, but we can't say that about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The reliability of Christ is the basis of all the promises of God, and is specifically so stated in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And then finally, it is important to keep other believers before the throne of grace in our prayers. You see, the prayers of the saints are valuable in God's sight. So we have concluded our verse-by-verse study in 1 Thessalonians. Again, like all of our studies here on the Pastor's Study, are available on audio cassette tape. So if you would like this part of the study, the entire study, just drop me a line at the address that will be given at the end of the broadcast. I also have, absolutely free, a catalog of all the studies that have been done on the Pastor's Study. And I also have available, absolutely free, Volume 1 of the Pastor's Studies, sermons and studies that I'll send out to you absolutely free. Again, if you'll just contact me at the address at the end of the broadcast. And again, if there are any pastors listening that would like me to come and speak at their church, please write me at the address that will be given at the end of the broadcast. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.